This weekend, a series of events will mark the centenary of the death of Michael Collins at Béal na Bláthán, County Cork, culminating with a historic commemoration on Sunday, which will be attended by both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael leaders Taoiseach Micheál Martin and the Tánaiste Leo Varadkar. Brian O'Connell joins me now from Cork. Brian, what's planned?
Well, the Michael Collins Centenary Commemoration Festival in Clonakilty and surrounding areas began last Sunday, actually. It includes sports, theatre, music, art and walks. So as you said, the main commemoration is on Sunday at 3 p.m, expecting a huge crowd at that. Then there are lots of other events. Claire, there's a talk by a grandnephew of Michael Collins at 6:30 on Monday. Members of the public will also have the option to pre-book a tour from Cork City, which will follow the same route Michael Collins took on what would tragically be his final journey. There will be documentary screenings, for example, the unveiling of a new painting. And of course, many of the relatives of those active in the War of Independence and in the Civil War are also going to be present here in Cork over the coming days to mark this historical occasion.
And you, Brian, have been speaking to the daughter of one of those who played a prominent role in those events. Tell us about Emmett Dalton.
Well, he had a pretty remarkable career and a pretty remarkable life. He fought in World War One. He received the Military Cross. He was a close confidant of Collins. He later set up Ardmore Studios and became a very significant film producer. He died in 1978. Now, 100 years ago this week, Emmett Dalton had set up his headquarters in the Imperial Hotel just on the South Mall in Cork, and he had a surprise visit from Michael Collins on Sunday, August 20th. He'd actually warned Collins that being in the area was an unnecessary risk, to which Collins is said to have replied, "Nobody will shoot me in my own county." 2 days later, Dalton was travelling in Collins' touring car when, as we know, they were ambushed in Béal na Bláthán. Collins had rejected Emmett Dalton's advice to keep going when the ambush began. I spoke exclusively this week with Emmett Dalton's daughter, Audrey Dalton. She herself has lived a pretty full life. She trained at RADA, was a very successful actor during what many term the golden age of Hollywood from the 1950s up until the late 1960s, 1970s. I mean, she's worked with them all: Michael Landon, Bob Hope, Richard Burton, David Niven, Burt Lancaster. The list just goes on and on. And she spoke to me this week, Claire, from her home in LA, about her trip back to Ireland this weekend and, of course, about her father, Emmett Dalton.
Well, it is a special trip, but I'd come back. It's been 6 years, and the 6 years before that, I brought a lot of the family with me, and we had a wonderful time. And of course, they're all anxious to come again. But this time, I'm just coming by myself. You know, it's summertime here, and people were busy and so on.
And obviously, there's a lot of resonance this time, and there's a lot of historical significance attached to your trip.
Yes, the date has always been a big one in my memory with my dad, and whatever, you know, August 22nd certainly is never a date that was forgotten by him.
He was a man who lived about five lives in one.
He certainly did. I mean, I found out more about his life after he died than I had ever known, you know, growing up and living with him. He talked very little about his earlier life, although when he got older, he talked more.
What did he make of the Ireland that emerged?
But the troubles that he knew earlier, there was years in the 50s, and he was so frustrated by what had happened, because, of course, that was not what he or Collins or anyone else had thought. That the anti-treaty, you know, really stirred up something that I think they really hadn't expected. The fact that it was still going on, that was one of the reasons he left the military. It was on both sides. He said it was just descending into this awful, bloody guerrilla warfare, and he found it very difficult.
It's interesting, that generation, isn't it, Audrey, that many families I would have spoken to would say that they didn't talk too much directly about their experiences.
That seems to be true. I think a lot of soldiers, men who've been in war or in great conflicts and traumas, don't talk about it. And I would think at the time when I was growing up with him and that, it was still very raw. He later on talked, and of course he showed me some of his papers and that. He always traveled with his little briefcase full of things he had written and memories that he had.
When I was in Béal na Bláthán a couple of weeks back with a historian and archaeologist, I suppose the first thing that struck me was that if you were to be ambushed there, you would certainly try and get out of there as quick as you could. And your father was the person who had said to Collins, "Drive on," basically.
Oh yes, yeah. That when he did talk, he certainly wrote about that he knew there's no way in a military, as being a military person as he was, you stop in an ambush, you know, get out of there fast.
Fascinating to hear Audrey there, Brian. And Emmett Dalton had that military experience, and he knew, according to his own accounts, that they were not in an ideal position at that time.
Yes, I mean, he'd fought and survived World War One, so was a lot more experienced. He would leave Ireland in the 1940s. He settled in London, but would eventually then have this incredible career as a film producer. And then Audrey, along with some contemporaries of hers, was spotted in a production, headed for Hollywood at a young age. And she had a glittering career acting in films such as the original Titanic in the 50s and many more. She's now in her 80s, and we spoke about her time working in Hollywood in that era, the 50s, the 60s, when the studios had all the control and power, as she told me.
It was like a family at that time, and because we were young, they really did take care of us and watched over us and saw that we were people at the studio. The Bing Crosby and Bob Hope were there at the time, and they sort of watched out for us. They were under contract there. They were all intrigued with these three young girls, and one of them from Ireland and so on. Socially, invited us into their homes, and people did. It was a different world, totally different than now.
And you had an amazing career, but then you gave it up in what, the late 60s, was it?
Well, it sort of gave me up, Brian. You know, I reached that magic age of 40 and things faded away. I had put a lot of limits on my career. I wouldn't do a series because that would be, working in those days, 6 days a week, and I eventually had four children. But I was very fortunate. I worked at what I did, and loved it. And not many people get to do what they love.
Just come back to your dad for a sec. At his funeral in 78, there was no Fianna Fáil government minister. There was no member of the government on behalf of Fianna Fáil there. It was still so raw.
Exactly. That was sad. But it appears that that's changed now. And I think nothing could be better than that.
This weekend, when you're in Ballinabloch, we'll have a Fianna Fáil Taoiseach and we'll have a Fine Gael Taoiseach, both of them present at Ballinabloch.
I think that's wonderful. And it's too bad it took 100 years. But nevertheless, I think it is the best possible thing. The rest of the world is in such turmoil in so many places. And how wonderful that Ireland has got this meeting with handshakes and the idea of working together.
Audrey Dalton. And you also spoke, Brian, to a member of the Collins family.
I met with Fidelma Collins, a grandniece of Michael Collins. Her father, Sean Collins, was a TD in West Cork for many years. And I called to her home in Cork this week to talk about her granduncle, Michael Collins.
Fidelma. Hi, Brian. How are you? Good to see you.
Thanks for having me. Well, there's no denying where I am anyway.
Yeah, these are two pictures. There's my granduncle, Michael Collins, and there's my father, Sean Collins, and they are looking at each other. It's absolutely a magical weekend for the Collins family. There's 180 of the Collins family gathering together. We're starting by laying a wreath at the bust of Michael Collins in Fitzcharles Park. We're heading up to Collins Barracks, which will be really poignant.
And this morning you were in the Imperial Hotel, which has particular significance and resonance for the family.
Absolutely. I mean, Michael left from the Imperial Hotel. They have done up the room that he slept in just magnificently, and people will be allowed to go and see it.
How did it feel for you walking into the room?
It actually gave me goosebumps. Certainly the room, you just felt you were there, and you thought about this was the last bed he slept in and the last time he came down the stairs and went out the door. So yeah, very poignant. My grandfather Johnny was his oldest brother, and they were very close. After Michael Collins died, Johnny, a little light went out in his eye.
How has history treated Michael Collins, do you think, so far?
For a long time, he was airbrushed a bit. In fairness, once the Michael Collins movie came out, I think the whole countryside started to look at him in a different light.
There'll always be talk as well over how your granduncle died.
Yeah.
How does the family feel about that? Is that something you think that should be left to history, or is it useful to re-examine it?
I'll be honest, from my point of view, and I'm only speaking on behalf of myself, so I would say that my grandfather always said he made his peace with people around that time after Michael Collins died. And if my grandfather made his peace at that time, that is good enough for me.
Fidelma Collins there, grandniece of Michael Collins. Brian, thank you very much for that report. Let's take a quick break before the news.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.